Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the day is treating you good for this April 24th, 2023. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Beth and Mel, and we are joined right now by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning. Michael Kerr here this morning.
Michael, how have you been?
I've been doing good.
Good, good. How was your weekend?
Pretty quiet, kind of low-key.
Excellent. I don't think that Mother Nature is going to be very low-key for us this week. We've got a little bit of a smorgasbord of a potpourri of weather this week. What is in store for us, Michael?
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very gradual moderation with those temperatures the next several days. Still not feeling too spring-like out there for today. Could even have some flurries out there to start the day as well as a weak upper-level disturbance works in from the northwest. Then a chance for some spotty light rain showers or sprinkles by this afternoon as high temperatures work up right around the middle range of the 40s by this afternoon. For tonight, still could have some sprinkles or some flurries early in the evening with lows dropping back to around 32 degrees. Then we get a couple of dry days both Tuesday and into your Wednesday. Tuesday, a couple degrees milder, but still well below average, right around 47 for that high temperature for tomorrow with partly sunny conditions. Wednesday, ample amounts of sunshine. We're headed up to a high near 53. Then a rainy stretch of weather expected for Thursday and into your Friday. Thursday, closer to the upper 50s, even approaching that 60-degree mark by the time we get to your Friday, but then trending cooler for your weekend and still some on and off rain chances as well. Saturday, a high of 53, and for your Sunday, lower 50s for highs there. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Appreciate the time, Michael. Thanks so much for the update. You going to be with us tomorrow?
Paul should be back tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. You have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Have a good one.
Best in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center there. Always appreciate when they can join us. Good to hear from Michael. I don't know. This isn't to say that anybody does it badly, but I don't know if anybody says their last name better than Michael Carroll.
I don't
think anybody says it better. Like, I don't mean just out of our weather people. Like, I mean even, like anybody in our, like, building here. Like, I don't know if anybody says their name as good as he does. Like, Maloff. Like, I don't say that. Like, he's Carroll. He rolls it. He does a good job with it. Do you think, like, does anybody else do this? Because one of my favorite things to, especially with local news, is watching new field reporters. And not seeing them struggle. I don't look forward to anybody doing that. I feel for that. More so as they find their voice and they get better at it and grow at it and everything. And, you know, within a short amount of time, if they have the opportunity and they really work at it, they become naturals at it and everything. Michael was a little like that. It's just cool to kind of hear him now where he's just he's in and out. It's nothing for him and everything. I remember him shuffling papers, struggling a little. It's great to hear. And it's kind of cool. I wonder this, though. Like when you're at school for this or anything, do you learn how to say your last name, like call letters and those things? Because there's some people where they're good at the job, but they and I'm so and so for channel such and such, and the last part they can't hit, or their last name they say like they've never said it before, and I feel for them so much. I'm not trying to make fun of it at all. It's somebody who messes up names every day, and hey, wait for the kitchens open, everybody. messes up words. It's every day on the air. I'm not at all picking on it. I admire it. I admire the push through, but I just find it interesting that you could be saying your last name correctly, you know, your whole life. You get on national television or something like that. It's like, Melu.
It's written on the screen and I can't read the words. That's when the nerves jump out.
It's interesting.
And some poor women out there, they have to change it halfway through.
Yeah.
So they have to learn a new last name to say on the air.
Or three times.
That's why Elizabeth Taylor never did news. We got Misty's menu birthday and anniversary club coming up in just a little bit for you. Looking forward to that. Plenty more fun things to get into, but this is an interesting one, and we're going to be doing this for a while, everybody. Looking back 3 years later, what's the weirdest thing you remember about the start of the pandemic? Someone asked Reddit, and of course, we got a laundry list of stuff here and everything. We're going to be talking about this because we're doing this now. But the kids that were born during the pandemic or the kids that were going to school during the pandemic, like, how about the kids that went through puberty during the pandemic? I mean, like, all the, there's so many different layers to this that are going to have a take on it. They're going to have an opinion, a feeling on it and everything. So it ain't going anywhere anytime soon. I know that we are all tired of the P word, of the pandemic, of hearing the word even. It's going to be a while before this. Before we're really through this, I think as a people, not our country, not a generation, a world. But, you know, this affected everybody. So it's you know, pretty big. Hoarding toilet paper in empty store shelves in general, like just in general.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't understand how a respiratory disease can cause you to want to hoard toilet paper.
We did some weird stuff during the pandemic. We all did. What were some of the creepier things to get you? For me, it was seeing Times Square empty. Driving around, even Rapids here, and it dead. Things like that. Those were some of the things that really did to me. And the empty shelves was right in the top five. Empty shelves was one of the freakier things to see to me.
But now we've almost become used to it, you know, with supply chain issues that have been happening kind of constantly since then. I'm not surprised when I walk into my grocery store and there's no yogurt.
Yeah.
It's become, like, Well,
it's become normalized.
This is too funny. Number two on the list, the sourdough starter trend, where everyone was baking bread.
Because we all finally had the time.
It's just kind of funny that I had no idea. That I did not pre-read this list or anything, that we started off today talking about Melissa making sourdough and everything.
Was a shortage of actual yeast, you know, like the quick yeast, which is why the sourdough thing kind of went a little more viral. And sourdough takes time.
Yeah.
Well, I can remember beer bread became really big during that time, too, because of that yeast. And people would use beer instead of actual dry yeast.
Right, because it's got yeast in it.
How suddenly overnight everyone had watched Tiger King.
Still haven't.
And a week.
Yay, I'm glad we're the holdouts, Beth.
Yeah, you two were the only ones. Yep. You two were the only ones. And how, like, a week later, everybody was like, hey, that felt wrong, right?
Yeah.
That felt really nasty, right? Like, everybody, like, we all agree, we should not have done that, right? We were so desperate for something
to watch.
Something new to watch, yes. That's the way to put it. And I never have watched a show like that in my life. And have no interest in watching shows like that. I can't even tell you, like, I could go ahead and lie to you guys and say, well, it was talked about by everybody, so I felt like, well, I should watch it so that we have something to talk about on the air. And we were really struggling for content back then.
Yeah.
And I refused to talk about certain political people and everything, so that lowered our conversation even more and everything. So we're just looking for some content. At that time, my brain was a little healthier. I noticed something that has happened to my brain, and I don't know how to fix it. I'm constantly looking for content. I'm talking to my dad the other day, and in the middle of it, I say to him, hey, this will make great content. And he's just looking at me like, what? What are you talking about? What the heck is content? What are you... Yeah. So it was kind of funny to me how quickly we went from talking about it to immediately afterwards, everybody kind of like hugging each other, like not really because there was a pandemic going on, but like metaphorically hugging each other like, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. I know. I took a really hot shower afterwards, too.
We survived it.
And maybe it was just preparing us for that horrible Imagine video. When Gal Gadot got all those celebrities to sing Imagine together.
Oh,
It was one of those things that was incredibly well-intended. I think that Gal Gadot, I think she has proven by now to show what a humanitarian she is, how much, how important it is. I'll tell you this, she's an Israeli, and she, that is a woman who, you talk about when you give back to your community, when she does it, it means a little more. It means a little deeper. It goes a little bigger and everything, and she has constantly done that. She did that before we knew who she was. She was doing this stuff long before that. Good-intended.
Right.
But it is one of the cringiest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's right. You would have been better off, like, just playing a Muzak version of Imagine, like the elevator music. Like, you'd have been better off playing that and trying to, like, just get people to, like, just feel better and be closer and all this. Because, man, that didn't go well. It did unify people in the fact that we all thought it was cringy. We all. The Zoom parties for birthdays and graduations, they were nonstop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody get yelled at for showing up late to one of those? Because I did. I had a class.
Really?
I had a a friend of mine was their little one was having her like second birthday or something. So it was important to them. I get it. And they weren't able to have friends and family over. So the more people that were in the Zoom, the more that they. First, she's two.
Right.
She's two. She ain't looking at the Zoom camera, man. Where's the cake? That's all she cared about mm-hmm. was where the cake was. But I digress. But I was going from they. I was going using my. I was in a class and I was using Skype. They were doing this on Zoom. So I was trying to like I was just going from Skype and just kept it on and just thought mm-hmm. I could jump right in and like, oh, wait a minute. No, they're on Zoom. So I close that, open up Zoom, takes a couple minutes or whatever. I jump in. So I'm about 5-10 minutes late for this Zoom session party thing or whatever. And I took heat for it through the whole thing. You would have thought I showed up like an hour late or something that. Like it
you
was a real
surprise, James.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. They still bring it up. But they're like, come on.
You're never going to live that down.
I guess not. How afraid we were of sneezing or even just clearing our throat in public.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have heard me just this morning, let alone almost every show. I struggle with my voice a little bit and everything. I'm still working on that. But during the pandemic, it was really bad. I'm still not comfortable sneezing in public. I'm still like, I'll run to the bathroom. But I haven't actually done that. But I could see doing that almost before sneezing in a department store or something right now. When restaurants started selling groceries.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They
had to get it off their shelves and out of their fridges or it was just going to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like it didn't last that long, but maybe it did. But that, again, time doesn't matter, and you know, at this, especially at this point in time, all this stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to recognize people when you could only see the top of their face.
Yep.
How many of us were like met people at that time and were a little taken back when the mask finally got removed? Does that happen to me?
You can actually see what they look like.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many students that I've still got now that I'm still getting used to. Like, your name again? Mr. Maloff, you've had me in class 4 years. Like, you know, like, it's like, oh, yeah, sorry, Debbie.
Put the mask back on and I'll recognize you.
Yeah. And as a side note, really tough to do improv comedy with masks. Yeah. Just difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The photo of a priest baptizing a kid from 6 feet away with a water gun.
Yeah. So many things wrong with that picture.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that moment though.
It was pretty funny.
It was a great moment. It was one of those moments we needed.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we understood it, but I don't think we could completely wrap our minds around how much we needed it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I think we look back and can tell. Like there are people that I don't talk to as much now that I did during the pandemic mm-hmm. that I will eternally be thankful for because I don't know. I think we leaned on each other to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be the only person like that. I'm sure there are other people out there that feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean it in the same sense, but this priest, I feel a little like that. I feel like, you know, I don't know who the first person was, but whoever the first person was to put on one of those T-Rex costumes to go get the mail. Like, thank you. Thank you to that hero, that person right there that did that and started that trend mm-hmm. and all that. Those videos made me laugh through the whole pandemic. Like, I never mm-hmm. got tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was one where they did, like, a race where there was, like, 80 of them or something like that. That was great. How every ad used the same formula. Somber piano music, shots of essential workers, and lines are, we're together, and even when we're apart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get tired of that one. I understood it. I do think though that is one of those ones that we can all collectively like look at though and remember. I don't think that they're necessarily cringy. I don't remember necessarily getting tired of that, other than being tired of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I wasn't so much tired of the message or tired of the sentiment or anything. I think we were just tired of the pandemic. We were tired of that right away.
Oh yeah.
I was one of those people because I tend to be introverted and tend to, you know, I don't get a lot of alone time. So I would say maybe even the first couple of days of the pandemic, the first week of the pandemic, I was also struggling with shame and guilt. Because there was parts of me that was enjoying it. There was parts of me, and I can say this now, I would have never said it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time saying it even now a little bit, as having somebody who had a father who barely survived the, you know, COVID and mm-hmm. those things. But just being honest, you know, and I think that's more important now than ever, being vulnerable, being honest, yep. you know, and things. There was a part of me that enjoyed it, that liked the first week or so of this and everything. And then I felt shameful for liking the whole thing because we got people dying all around us and all these things and all mm-hmm. these horrible things going on. Who am I to have any even tiny bit of enjoyment? And then there was this moment throughout that where when things started opening up again and everything, where that shame came back, where it was like, well, why do I get to do this? Or even during it where when we were working. Right. And other people weren't. And it was like, well, I know it's considered essential, but man, I feel like those people really should be working more than we should or something. Mm-hmm. That's stuff that we're still going to be dealing with.
Yep.
That shame, that guilt, that's something that's still going to be. As somebody who is dealing with guilt that I didn't even deal with, that wasn't even mine, as most Jews deal with survivor guilt from the Holocaust or the plagues or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll tell you, that ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, to think of. One thing I will say that I think is a positive and we need more of, again, we're all going to be dealing with that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's going to be dealing with a little bit of that. And that should show some commonality. That should show some connection that we can be there for each other in this.
Mm-hmm.
That we all have something in common when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because each of us in our own individual, you know, little, which were really then bubbles, because we were all kind of quarantining for a while there. I think that there were a lot of us that just had a moment to take a breath and go, okay, horrible things are happening, but I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And my people are okay that I know, you know, and of course that wasn't true all across the board. I think in the very, very early days it was, for most of us, but yeah. And then there was the guilt that set in.
Yeah, it's going to be a moment in time that we're not getting away from anytime soon. Even though time is a flat circle and it doesn't matter anymore. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really take a break? We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up. A locally grown radio.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Oh,
well. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. There we go. That's the best favorite one. That's a funny how that worked out. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. And if you are celebrating a birthday, make sure to let them know. Mm-hmm. Get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
Right.
I have a wonderful list in front of me. I got five awesome names in front of me here. Beth, can you give me a 1 through 5?
3.
All right. That gives us our qualifier so we can go right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Brooke Enerson.
Happy birthday, Brooke.
Ooh, happy birthday, Brooke.
Brooke, we hope you enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you. Make the most of it. I say, and I mean, just keep on celebrating.
Yeah. You know?
Just keep on celebrating. It's a Monday. It's a good day for celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Jesse Brandle.
Happy birthday, Jesse.
Happy birthday, Jesse.
Jesse's a good guy. Wishing him a good birthday. Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Joe Novak.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Joe.
Birthday, Joe.
Another good guy. Joe, enjoy your day. We hope mm-hmm. it's a great one for you. And Beth brought us this name. Mm-hmm. We want to wish a happy birthday to Trudy Knipple.
Happy birthday, Trudy.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Trudy. Hope it's a great one for you and a good morning to the whole Knipple clan out there. We mm-hmm. say good morning to everybody. And our qualifier today, Jennifer Liska.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Happy birthday and congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah. Congrats, Jen. And happy birthday to you. We hope you have a great one. Enjoy your day. And thank you so much to everybody that sent us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody.
Yeah.
We want more. Bring it on. Bring it on. We want more birthdays and anniversaries.
I do have one more of a person who cannot qualify, but it happens to be my oldest son's godmother. She's known as Godmom Barb in our house. So happy birthday to Barb Berg.
Oh, that's a great name, by the way. Oh, it's a great name. Happy birthday, Barb.
Yes, get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on Facebook, just like our Facebook page. Direct message us that way. And, of course, you can send them to any of our staff's emails. They're all pretty much the same. For example, mine is james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Melissa.
Mine is melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love how that worked. That was great, Melissa. Thank you. She knew right where I didn't want to leave her hanging there and put her on the spot, but she just picked up right away. Like it was her cue. Like nicely done. Let's go ahead and dive into our celebrity birthdays. Tyson Ritter is 39, lead singer of the All-American Rejects.
Oh.
He had a couple of hits. A couple of singers starting things off. Kelly Clarkson is 41 today.
Yeah.
American Idol winner, voice judge, talk show host, and a body positive person.
Yes.
I don't know how to put that properly, but one of the things, I don't know a ton about her. One of the things I know is she started to gain a little bit of weight, and like a lot of people kind of like they get shamed in that spiral. And she just said, well, this is me.
Yeah.
I just had a kid. Like, she was very honest, very blunt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who didn't grow up in the public eye, who kind of got not rushed into this whole thing, but sort of. Like,
right.
You know, it wasn't as if her or Carrie Underwood or a lot of these guys were trained to be stars.
Right.
They just sang. They could sing, and they got on a competition show, and boom, there they go.
Yep.
I think all things considered, she's handled her public eye pretty darn well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the body positive part of things and stuff. I feel like I should be talking about her as a singer as well. And I unfortunately can't. But her as a person seems like
she's got an amazing voice.
I believe it.
One of the things that she does on her talk show is called Kellyoke. So she will take other artists' songs and make them her own. It is her own version of it.
Oh, that's a smart bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. Sasha Barris is 42. Tracy in the Hangover movies. She's Doug's wife and Alan's sister.
Okay.
Let's see here. Rebecca Mader is 46. The Wicked Witch in Once Upon a Time. She also she's Charlotte the redhead on Lost. And we got another Lost reference coming up here a little bit.
Why do they all seem to have their birthdays on the same day?
They always do. You noticed that too?
That was a requirement to be on the show.
Perhaps.
Now, it seems like it happens with Lost more than any other show, but that's not the only one. We've got another example coming up in this list here. So Damon Lindelof is 50. Lost creator.
Wow.
Who helped, along with J.J. Abrams, created the show.
Mm-hmm.
He also helped write Star Trek Into the Darkness, Tomorrowland, Prometheus. He's also behind Miss Davies, Davis, the new show about a nun trying to take down the world's most powerful AI.
Oh.
I heard some really good things about that show.
Interesting.
I've heard it is a smarter, funnier, modern version of the Flying Nun kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Really?
It's taking this person and putting, you know, fish out of water sort of thing. The young actor who's playing the lady, the nun, is incredibly really, really good. Like, I want to check it out just to see what it's like. It sounds pretty good. Melinda Clark is 54. She was on the OC and CSI. And now Rory McCann is 54. He was wonderfully the Hound in Game of Thrones, an amazing actor. And Aidan Gillian is 55. Petra on Game of Thrones. So we got two actors from a show there.
Okay.
Seems like that happens a lot.
Hmm.
The great Cedric the Entertainer is 59.
Oh,
great stand-up comedian. Hilarious stand-up. Great actor, too. He is a good actor. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite character actors, Damon Huson, is 59. He's the wizard in Shazam, the Fisherman King in Aquaman. He's Korath in Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain Marvel. Now, you pronounce his name Jaimon Hasu. You might also remember him in Gladiator, Blood Diamond, Furious 7. I guarantee if you see his face, you know him.
Mm.
I think my favorite role, one of my favorite roles of his, I think he was in Amistad, but more so my favorite role of his, Constantine, he plays Papa Midnight. He's really good in that. He was really, really good. Let's see here. Doug Clifford is 78, drummer for CCR, for Clean's Clearwater Revival.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see here. And a couple of greats here, legends. Barbara Streisand is 81 today.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Babs.
Yeah, yeah. One of my
She's
mom's
like
favorite
butter.
Singers. My mom used to joke because I respect Barbara Streisand. I think she is extremely talented. My mom played her a lot as a little kid. And mm-hmm. what do you do with your parents' music? You know, for everything you like, there's stuff that you don't like and everything. Right. And I wasn't a big Barbara mm-hmm. Streisand fan. And she used to tease me that I wasn't a true Jew. obviously, she was joking, and there's a joke there and everything. But I think that my respect for Barbara Streisand grew stronger and stronger the older I got, especially, I know I've shared this story before, but I think it's one of the greatest origin stories of all time. It may be, if not the greatest, it's top five greatest origin stories of all time. Barbara Streisand has this voice from a young age, and she wants to act, but mm-hmm. she hasn't gotten a lot of experience and, you know, wants to work. So she goes to her first big audition is for Off-Broadway, and she is nervous as all get out. And she goes up on stage. She starts talking in this real annoying Brooklyn accent and chewing the gum and smacking it all over the place and everything, and they're just really annoyed by her voice and stuff. And then she starts to sing. And she sounds like Barbara Streisand. Right. She sounds like a songbird. She sounds amazing and literally blows everybody away. Oh, I'm sorry. I do this every time I mess up the story. She's just talking like this, and she's smacking a gum and everything. And they ask her to please remove the gum out of her mouth and sing. So she takes the gum out and sticks it under the chair and then starts to sing. And then she sings like a songbird mm-hmm. and all this. She leaves, and they're just blown away, and they're talking about her afterwards, the casting people and stuff. And they go up there to remove the gum, and there's no gum. It was a character. She was so nervous about auditioning that she created a character to help her audition. So it wasn't Barbara auditioning. It was this character she made up.
Oh.
So when they finally met Barbara Streisand, there's this shy little mouse that has this, you know, she's got a little bit of a New York accent, but nowhere mm-hmm. near as bad as it was. They almost didn't recognize her. She didn't look the same. She didn't sound the same. It was her first, and like after that, she auditioned, and you know, of course, eventually she wouldn't even have to audition for things. Mm-hmm. But I just find it to be one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. And again, I'm not a gigantic fan of hers. I respect her. It's more so I respect her beginnings so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know. It's such a cool story to me. One more name for us on our list. The wonderful Shirley MacLaine is 89. Oscar winner, Terms of Endearment. You may also remember her as guarding Tess. I thought she was really good in that, the Nicolas Cage movie. There's a billion movies we can mention with Shirley MacLaine.
Steel Magnolias, The Apartment.
I was trying so hard to not mention. I wanted to mention other movies before Steel Magnolias because I feel like that's what she's got so much other good work. But yes, thank you for mentioning that. That you have to mention that one. You have to mention that movie with her work. One more time, a very happy birthday to all of our listeners, all the people celebrating birthdays and anniversaries out there. We wish you a great one. Enjoy. Sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news. Everybody else, go ahead and enjoy Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. You get there. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Good to see you again. That was the closest I could tie you to it. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday out there. Hopefully it is a good one for you. Anybody else? This is an exciting week for me. I got a lot of things I'm excited about this week. And we're not even there yet, but my son's birthday is this week.
Aww.
So I'm very excited about that. And the NFL draft is this week, and that is a national holiday for me. That is you're lucky I'm here for to work. And I'm not already focused in on that and everything. So it's a couple of great things. Got another great birthday coming up this week too. There's a lot of good ones. So a lot of good things this week. It's gonna be a fun week as we wrap up April and let it go. And to those out there that, you know, getting closer to summer, maybe you want to get outside more, maybe even play a little more basketball and everything. And I want to be taller. I want to be taller.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have been around people that have always wanted to be taller? I've known a couple of people like that in my life. I've actually known more people. I feel like off the top of my head, I feel like I've known more people that wish they were shorter.
Really?
Not by much, but a little bit. I've known, I come from a tall family, so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. this is a lot of pain and suffering for just a few inches, but here we go. Ever wish you were taller? Well, having your legs surgically lengthened is more popular than ever.
Oh,
wow.
NBC News just profiled a 26-year-old guy named Alex who had it done last year. He was 5'7" and he's now 5'10". But it was not an easy process. They basically break both legs up around your thighs and insert a rod in each one. The new bone slowly starts to grow. The rods work on a remote that lengthens them by 1 millimeter per day for the next 3 to 4 months. At that point, Alex was able to get around again using a walker. Then he switched to a cane. So you're basically disabled for a while with lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of physical therapy. And if anybody who's ever had to do physical therapy, which is, I gotta think, by at this point, you know, at a certain age, everybody's done it or done some version of it or anything. It's a pain. Like, it is a pain doing this.
Painful.
Yeah. Regardless, he's happy with the results. He says he never wanted to be tall, just tall enough for people to stop making comments about his height. He says making fun of someone's height is still acceptable for some reason. So how much does it cost? He says it cost him around $100,000.
Yep.
And most of it wasn't covered by insurance. The surgeon who did this, who did it, says he expects to do around 50 leg lengtheners procedures this year, up to 20 a year from up to 20 years ago. So I'm sorry. The surgeon who did it says he expects to do around 50 lengthening procedures this year. That's up from 20 a year ago. Okay.
Wow.
It sounds like most of those patients are men, but not all of them are young. He says even guys in their 60s have expressed interest. What seemed 5'7" to 5'10", it's just 3 inches. It doesn't seem like a big deal to some of us, but it's a big deal probably to him, obviously.
Yeah. Must be.
The lengths, no, I didn't mean to say that. That's a bad pun. That's bad. The lengths somebody would go to for something like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to act like I know what it's like. We need more of this in society. I'm not about to start pretending like I know what it's like to be short. I've been tall my whole life. So I don't want to act like I know what this is like or what it's like to get picked on. But he has a couple of good points in here. He has a good point in here about there are certain things, as hard as it is to imagine, there are certain things that we are still, quote unquote, making fun of.
Oh, yeah.
And that is okay. Age. It's still okay to make fun of old people and those things. I'm not saying it actually is. I'm saying that, like, comedians, you know, your late night talk show hosts and people like that.
Yep.
Comedian, your stand up comedians. Where's safe? What's safe? Imagine trying to be a comedian nowadays.
Right.
Like, where can you go? What is safe? Nobody's going to laugh at knock knock jokes anymore. I got to do something to push the envelope here. You can't push the envelope being safe. You got to push things. What can I make fun of? What can I rip on? That's where most comedians start. I don't think that's right, but that's where a lot of comedians start. Well, I can't make fun of this culture. I can't make fun of this religion. I can't do that or that or that. I'm going to get canceled. Age. I can still make fun of age. Weight. Can still make fun of weight to a degree. And height. Nobody says anything about height. Nobody is getting canceled because somebody made a short joke.
Right.
Nobody, you know, that kind of thing. So what do you, everybody goes to that, those categories then. Every comedian, every person standing next to a buddy trying to make them laugh. Everybody's going in that route. So I'm actually going to go a different direction that I think people expect me to. And I don't necessarily say this is right. But for me, it's the best option on the table right now. I have always I am a graduate of the George Carlin School of Comedy. I believe that if you are going to make fun of one thing, then everything's got to be okay. It is the point of comedy. It is the reason we had court jesters. Kings and queens had court jesters. Their job was to bring the king and queen down to the same level as the pauper, as the poor person, so that everybody was on the same level. Comedy is the great equalizer. It always has been, always will be. It's part of the reason why some of the greatest journalism being done right now is by comedians.
Yep.
I believe in that style of comedy. If somebody is going to make a Jew joke and a Polish joke, and I laugh at the Polish joke but not the Jewish joke, that ain't right. Like, mm-hmm. Now, if you don't find something funny, that's completely different. I've heard every Jew joke there is, so I don't tend to laugh at them anymore. But I've always, like, my best friend in the whole world tells the greatest Jewish jokes I've ever heard in my life. He also tells the greatest other jokes and this jokes and that jokes. I mean, that's the purpose of comedy. It's all got to be safe or not. There's also a difference of telling a joke and being evil. You can tell. You know when somebody's telling a joke and they're just telling a joke, or they're actually showing their cards here a little bit.
Yeah.
Like they're actually telling you something a little bit here. Dave Chappelle talked about this when during filming the Chappelle show, and there would be people that were laughing at some of these jokes that he would make, and that were they laughing with or at somebody? You know,
right.
I'm not saying that there's not gray area here or anything, but I think we get better about this whole canceling everybody over jokes and things like that and understanding, hey, where's the line? And guess what? Everybody's got a different line. What's funny to Beth is not going to be funny to me and et cetera, et cetera. Like, the better we're going to be about this. And maybe we don't got people spending $100,000 just trying to get 2 inches taller. I don't have an answer, and nobody does. But I think that that's what we need to go the other way with this. We need to start being able to take a joke again, being able to make fun of each other again.
Yeah.
What's it like for kids in school now? Like, this is how, first got here, this was one of the ways we became friends. I looked different than everybody, and I stood out like a sore thumb. But I also, one of the first ways I knew that I was accepted by people was, hey, four eyes, you know. Like, because I had glasses. I just gotten glasses and stuff. Like, is that cool? No. Like, we don't agree with bullying. We don't agree with picking on each other. But it's also a rite of passage. We just got done going over the generations and everything. And what happened? What this generation that we're talking about, that they're soft, that they can't take a joke, that they're too easily offended. Where did that come from? Us, society.
Right.
They weren't born that way. We created them that way. And again, this is something that everybody's got to, like, I didn't do that. I didn't raise those kids, but I have to take as much responsibility as anybody else. I am a part of society. You don't get to just pick and choose when you take responsibility. You're a part of this game. Mm-hmm. You're a part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, we've tried to make it too easy for our kids, and so they've never learned how to develop those skills to be able to either even just make fun of themselves. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, this person chose to go the route of having surgery rather than figuring out a way to just, you know, maybe turn
accept
the joke on
as he is,
or turn the joke on somebody else. Yeah, I'm not the tallest person in the world. I keep telling people I'm vertically challenged. I'd like to be 5'6", and it's a challenge for me to get there since I've stopped growing.
I like it. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, we're going to see where this goes, you know, where it takes us. I really like the idea, though, of somebody like, this isn't how it would work. But say you're working with somebody. We work with Pam, you know, we know how tall Pam's been for this whole time. And then one day Pam shows up and she's like 6'10". She's like, what
happened?
We're looking for the stilts.
Yep. We will take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll talk a little cereal. We're going to talk some cereal when we get back here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. James, Melissa, Beth here with you. Going to take it to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in and catch up on all your world news. And then when we get back, we got the kitchens open. It's going to be a fun segment. Looking forward to diving into that and seeing what's cooking in there.
Yeah.
And after that, we're going to be joined by our friends from El Cafe. They are a wonderful restaurant over in the Port Edwards area. They're new chamber members. We're going to be talking with them about their business, about their store. Looking forward to it.
Excellent.
And of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have Vinnie Wright stories, some good stories of the day, plenty more coming up for you. Speaking of food, there are times when the cereal industry pretends to be prioritizing nutrition. This is not one of those times.
Okay.
Kellogg's collaborated with the company that makes ice, the red and blue slushies at gas stations.
Okay.
That many of us grew up on. Oh, those were great. So many headaches. So many brain freezes. Yeah, so many brain freezes. To create an official icy cereal.
Cereal.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like little red and blue balls with cherry and blue raspberry flavors like the drinks.
Hmm.
I'd try it.
Yeah, me too. Yes, yeah. Yes, 100%, Melissa. Yeah. Yes, 100%. They're claiming that it has a secret innovative ingredient that cools your mouth as you eat.
Oh, wow. Maybe not.
Imitating a sip of an icy.
Will it give you brain freeze like an icy? Yeah.
There aren't any
you
other
have to eat it very fast.
There aren't any further details on the quote on the cooling effects. Okay. I like how they put innovative ingredient and cooling effects in quotations. Like I like that. I think Fox News has to do that from now on.
Yes, with our air quotes.
Fox air quotes over news. Yep. Yes.
News.
If nothing else, it seems like a mega sugar rush. I suppose, which is like every other cereal, but like it's pretty much every other cereal is like
that. Hey, at least they're claiming it this time.
Yes, I really do respect that. Yeah. I actually do appreciate that. Own it, at least. The boxes should be hitting stores nationwide soon if they aren't available already.
Okay, taste test time.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think that doing a taste test on cereals would be a blast. That would be a lot of fun. We've done it with a bunch of candies.
We have.
We haven't done it with cereal yet, but I'll have to do that. I think that'd be fun. I felt a little similar to Melissa about the whole cooling thing, though.
Well, because at first, the flavors sound great as a cereal. Sure. Yeah. That'd be, it's like a Fruit Loop, but the icy flavors that we're familiar with from the gas station. But then the cooling your mouth thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
What kind of chemical are they putting in that to make that happen?
Yeah.
But then again, we put things in our mouths that explode.
Right. Exactly.
The Pop Rocks.
Yes.
So,
yes.
What difference is it, really?
We don't, you know, to even, and that's not enough. We do that, and then we got to drink a thing of Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
Or something with it, or something like that. Like,
to make it, even more.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Mentos and Coca-Cola.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Kellogg's also had an Elf on the Shelf cereal last year that cooled your mouth. That cereal used, quote, sugar alcohols to induce the cooling sensation, so this could be a similar thing. I think most of us by now have seen, like in TV shows or movies, those fancy restaurants that none of us can afford, where they come in and they make something with like
liquid nitrogen,
nitrogen or something like that, and everything. And while I could never afford something like that, I have always been tempted to like, ooh, wonder what that tastes like.
Right.
I'm curious about those things. As much as texture plays into the foods that I eat, and I'm trying to get better about that, I find myself always still drawn to that. What's the texture like?
Right.
I wonder if I put my taste buds, put them to a lie detector, what would become first, the texture or the taste? I don't really, for me, I don't really know what matters more in these things. But I'm impressed with the culinary world, with the chef world, the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at food and I love to cook, but ask me to make an original recipe that my nana didn't do or my mom didn't do or something like that, and I'm lost.
Right.
I'm nowhere without a playbook when it comes to cooking and stuff, even though I was raised by Italian cooks and everything that don't never use recipes or anything. Even they have a kind of outline, at least a rough draft.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me, hey, make a new dinner. I got nothing, man.
Right.
We're lost. I don't know how they do this stuff. I find it incredibly creative and incredibly cool the way they... I used to be glued to Anthony Bourdain's shows, both of the shows that he did. And when he would meet these chefs or talk to them, or even Guy Fieri's show, where he's talking to all these different chefs around the country and everything, and they got these ideas that that they come up with or they talk about. Brian's pie bread, things like that. I'd never be able to come up with something like that. Like you asked me to write a script or a comedy sketch or something. Sure, I can do that. Food? I got nothing. I can make a mud pie. No, that doesn't count, man. We got more than sixth graders around here. So. I think there's something. It's as tired and as boring as some entertainment has gotten. You throw a rock and you'll meet somebody who's tired of every movie that comes out nowadays, or every prequel or sequel or superhero movie. TV shows all seem the same. Every reality show is the exact same. I don't know how people get into reality TV and can tell the difference of one reality TV show and another. The food industry, the food world, seems to be going the opposite direction. They seem to be like just being able to be more and more innovative.
Yeah. Innovative. Yeah.
Innovative is the word I was looking for. I was just going to keep going. Okay. I was hoping to fix it in post.
But I think it's part of the way that we are going to need to be going mm-hmm. with food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need more innovation in food because we're going to have challenges in feeding the population of the world in years to come. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a necessary advancement. Like we were talking about the cell-cultured meat not that long ago on The Kitchen's Open. I think that's kind of the way things are going to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And chefs are challenged with, okay, now how do I incorporate that into what we already know? And most mm-hmm. new foods are a takeoff from something that we're already used to, which
because
is great.
Because it needs to be familiar.
Yep. Well, and I loved the show Good Eats because he would explain the science behind why things go together mm-hmm. or work the way that they do. So that gave you the basis for saying, okay, well, if that's how it works, maybe if I try this ingredient or do it this way instead, it's still going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder too what dinner 10, 20 years from now will be on everybody's plate mm-hmm. because. difficulties usually with economy tend to lead to a great food being created.
Right.
So many great dishes that we enjoy these days were created, back in Europe during the plagues or something like that. Because stew, gumbo, mm-hmm. all these things I'm thinking of just off the top of my head. I wonder what the next innovative thing could be like that because of necessity. Necessity is, of course, the mother of invention.
Right. Even eating eggs was like that at one point. I mean, who thought about eating the thing that came out of a chicken's butt?
Right, right, yeah, yeah. Who was the first person?
Right.
And how good of a salesman was that? Because it's just me and him or her, whatever. That was these first two people that decided this, and they, mm-hmm. They come up to me like, "Hey, I want to try this." I ain't trying that.
Right.
You go right ahead, man. Yeah, you go right, weirdo over here eating this thing that came out of the chicken butt. Like, what are you doing, man?
And then think about how many different ways that we prepare that now.
Yes.
Yeah. One ingredient mm-hmm. prepared how many different ways?
And as a component in how many other different recipes.
Exactly.
Exciting doesn't feel like the right word, but it for lack of a better, it feels exciting mm-hmm. to think of what the possibilities that can come. It's not exciting when you think about why we have to come up with these things and why we have to be initiative. But I think that you can you don't have to have your head in the sand. You also don't have to have your fists clenched. Mm-hmm. You can, be aware of why we're having to do these things while also having a little bit of hope, mm-hmm. a little bit of looking forward to.
Right.
And a sense of adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite things about cooking, about trying a new meal. It feels mm-hmm. like a mini adventure. It really does.
Right.
Like, I was so picky for so long that now that I am, and I'm still, there's anybody that eats with me, including Melissa, is just shaking their head like, he's still not that better. He's lying to the audience. But I don't want to make it sound like I've made leaps and bounds or anything like
You're making progress.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Even baby steps is progress.
Fine. That is progress.
But that has made it adventures for my taste buds with this stuff.
And who would have thought that we would have seen that in cereal?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And yet here we are.
Taste test. We're having a radio taste test with these cereals. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we got The Kitchen's Open, Melissa's show. She is going to be bringing us a great one. Shout out to our friends at Chatterbox Catering sponsoring that. After that, we're going to be joined by El Cafe. They're new chamber members. Ooh. We're going to find out more about El Cafe.
Food.
Yes, it's going to be food all over. Food on the brain coming up mm-hmm. in the next hour on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.